Portions of today's show may be pre-recorded.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
The segment is brought to you by MIT and Scooney Side by Side. MIT is a suspension company for off-road, and they just picked up Scooney Side by Side, which has just added super value to both companies. They can take care of all of your needs. Whether you're doing little trucks, big trucks, side-by-sides, they can do it all. Every part and piece in the house has been well checked out so that you'll know when you go into them, whether it's brakes, shocks, oil changes, upgrades, or anything with a side-by-side, Scooney's and MIT will take very good care of you. All right there off of Greenfield, check these guys out. All right, we got Ed Stoven in the house. How you doing, Ed?
Doing great, Dave. Thanks.
All right. So we've got a full packed show today. Who have you got on?
We have Amy Granite, who's the executive director of the California Off-Road Vehicle Association. Mm-hmm. She's also a director of the California Outdoor Recreation Foundation, and she's a director of Tread Lightly. So she's really got her hand in a variety of off-road advocacy areas. Are you there, Amy?
I sure am.
Hi, Amy. Always glad having you back. I told Ed after the last time we had you on, we got to get this girl back on. I mean, there's no way we can continue.
Thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure.
And you're so you can hear it in your voice. You're so passionate about what you do. And I'm sure it's more of an uphill battle than a lot of people realize.
Oh, my God.
And I think that's what motivates you, wouldn't you say?
You know, I do have a tendency to fight for the underdog. But it just seems to me that off-road recreation enthusiasts and off-road recreation in general is so misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And people assume it's something that it's not. And people assume that the recreation enthusiasts that enjoy it are sometimes something that we're not. As it says in your intro, it is a safe and enjoyable family form of recreation where we all get out there, we enjoy the land, we take care of the land.
Right.
But it's just another way to appreciate the beauty that's all around us.
But for some reason, there are people out there that do not agree with that last statement. I mean, are these the type of people that go out to the desert, go out to the mountains and say, oh, this is terrible, I'll never do this again? I can't imagine anybody saying that, can you?
So it's an interesting question, but yes, there are
I've
people like that
storms.
Who make that assumption.
Gosh,
all the time.
I think those are the people that have never been out, camped out under the stars, sat around with their friends in front of a fireplace or a fire pit instead of a TV or an iPhone and just enjoyed the camaraderie. I think the camaraderie of human beings in the outdoors is really what drives people to it. And if you have never experienced it, then yeah, okay, maybe you wouldn't feel that way.
If you're on the Rubicon and literally you stop on the side of the trail for any reason, just maybe to take a break, get a drink of water, whatever it is, you will find almost every vehicle that's passing you, either way, will stop and say, do you need anything? Are you okay? You need help? You need water? And it gets to be funny at a certain point because, you know, so many people are asking you, but this is what we do in our community. This is our ethos, you know, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. We help each other out. And it is exactly that camaraderie that you're talking about. that people enjoy. Then every now and then you like to get off on your own, which I do kind of often, mm-hmm. just to get away from the phone and the computer.
Sure.
But the people who oppose it, it's interesting because I've asked now to be on a panel on September 10th, and the premise of the panel is in how to get along and how to build relationships with OHV enthusiasts and OHV groups. So I've been asked to be on the panel to explain that, and I thought the premise was interesting. It is primarily geared towards environmental groups so that they know how to talk to us, and the person who's putting it together, very nice person. I told her, well, the first part would be to just say hello, talk to us, you know, introduce yourselves. That's a great way to start a conversation, and she laughed because it's so simple. But there are those who just don't understand and look at us as something different. And it's for a lot of reasons, you know, electric off-roaders are going to be coming a thing. Polaris is making a couple of different Razor models. Jeep makes an e-Wrangler. So if we could look forward 10 years from now, there might be a lot more on the trail. Myself, I have a V8 Jeep, very happy with it, and I'm sticking with an internal combustion engine, but those variety of those vehicles will be available, and that can satisfy some people who want to move more in an electric vehicle direction, but it is personal choice. But there are so many avenues where people see what someone else does and criticize, and they don't see their own actions that could be harmful, and don't recognize that some of the worst conditions on trails in California right now are on the John Muir Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, hiking trails, truly hiking trails.
How are there bad conditions on the hiking trails?
They have a tendency to think that they don't leave a footprint or an imprint, and they don't clean up after themselves. They don't pack it in and pack it out. We are so used to doing that in the off-road community. We've heard it over and over and over, and there's peer pressure when you get out in areas. And sure, there'll be times when you'll see some trash, but most of us carry a trash bag, something, and we'll pick it up, and we'll take it with us, and we'll take it out. But hikers have a tendency to think that they don't have an impact, and they don't practice the same principles. So we're used to taking the care of the land. We understand the responsibility. I think it's a bit clearer for us, and it's a bit more necessary because of the way people feel free to criticize what we do. But hikers are under some illusion that they can do whatever they want because they don't have an impact in their human-powered recreation. I've heard it kind of over and over again.
Or so they think.
Yeah. Right. It's wrong. And I've been very lucky to learn some really knowledgeable people about the impact of equestrian use or hiking use or mountain bike use and dirt bike use and four-wheel drive and side-by-side all have a different impact on the ground, and mm-hmm. it's a matter of understanding it so you can manage it and you can mitigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key to what we do. We want to maintain, manage, and our trails and mitigate any impacts that they have.
Mm-hmm.
The equestrian community and the hiking community and the mountain biking community actually are very late to the game in coming to that conclusion, but they do have an impact. And I tell a story about traveling with my son and a whole bunch of Boy Scouts on a hiking trail many years ago. Mm-hmm. And they can leave an imprint, let me tell you. Now, it's great to get them out into the country, out on the trails. But they had to learn to clean up after themselves and to look at and to travel in single file and to stay on a designated trail. Because you want to minimize that impact as much as possible. We just do it more naturally.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm sure you got more news for us. And I don't want to throw stones, but a lot of times these hikers are really the ones that complain the most. So we've got to educate them, take them out, put them in a side-by-side. and show them how much fun it is. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170. The answer. Oops, sorry about that.
Well, summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity: golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer: Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Attend the Escondido Gun Show September 7th and 8th at the California Center for the Arts, Escondido, 340 North Escondido Boulevard, Escondido, California. See dealers selling the finest in modern guns, custom knives, huge selection of ammo, scopes, gun accessories, and much more. Buy, sell, and trade at the Escondido Gun Show September 7th and 8th at the California Center for the Arts, Escondido, 340 North Escondido Boulevard in Escondido. California gun aficionado, you don't want to miss out on this huge selection of ammo. Over 500,000 rounds of ammo on sale. Winchester ammo, Remington ammo, 9mm Luger ammo, 38 Special, vintage ammo. Do not miss out on these major brands of ammo. Buy ammo and more. Do not miss the Escondido Gun Show September 7th and 8th at the California Center for the Arts, Escondido, 340 North Escondido Boulevard, Escondido, California. Get $2 off admission. Go to azgunradio.com. That's azgunradio.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment is brought to you by Ed Hansen's Muffler, where all your pipe dreams come true. Ed Hansen Muffler has been putting exhaust systems on stock vehicles, race cars, custom cars, and they're the number one place to go when you have a vehicle and you need a unique exhaust system and you don't know how to go about doing it or where you could take it. Ed Hansen takes on every challenge out there. Maybe you got a catalytic converter that's gone bad. He can take care of that for you, too. You want cat-back exhaust, he can take care of that for you as well. If it has anything to do with exhaust, Ed Hansen Mufflers, they are the experts. Give them a call, 619-698-7030, 619-698-7030, and they are very reasonably priced. Plus, it's family-owned and operated. Ed Hansen's Muffler. All right, we're talking to Amy Granite and Ed Stoven. We've been talking about what's going on. Amy's got a title so long it has to go around a business card like three times. So, Ed, what are we going to talk about next?
So, I'd like to talk about national monuments. And we love them. There's these wonderful monuments out in the desert, out in the mountains. And the way they are formed is not always what we want, and sometimes they can take some land and they add restrictions to it that we don't think is necessarily justified. And so how does a monument get made? There's two different ways to make a monument. It can go through legislation, so the House of Representatives, the Senate, and then the President can sign and make a monument. And the other way is that the president can simply make a proclamation and just poof, there's a national monument. And there's two that are of interest in California, the proposed Chuck Walla National Monument. And then the second one, which we've recently learned about, is the proposed Cuestan National Monument. Now, the Chuck Walla one is about 660,000 acres. And it starts a little ways below Highway 10 and east of the Salton Sea. It's in southern Riverside County and eastern Imperial County. And These are proposed. They haven't been made yet, but they're in the works. So, and the second one is the Quetzon National Monument, and they're trying to make that in southern eastern Imperial County. So from the far side of the Imperial Sand Dunes to the Colorado River and above the border and up about 50 miles. So what's a problem with these is nine, 10 years ago, the Bureau of Land Management worked on making a large plan for the whole California desert to figure out who goes where. And it was called the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan. It cost millions of dollars, and everybody that had a stake in the California desert participated. And what they were looking at doing is figuring out where renewable energy is appropriate, where recreation can take place, and where conservation can take place. So they went through this whole plan. It took years. Everybody got in comments. I got in comments, and I, to be honest, there were parts of it that I didn't like. They wanted to stop renewable energy. They succeeded in stopping renewable energy in the Bureau of Land Management open areas, particularly in San Bernardino County and Kern County. But they didn't limit Ocotillo Wells from getting renewable energy, and it's possible that geothermal can still go there, and that's what I fought. So the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan worked out what could go where, and everybody was involved, and there was no litigation at the end of this plan. So it was considered a success. So we knew what was protected. We knew what could have renewable energy. We knew where we could have recreation and also transmission, which means power lines or putting pipes or cables underground as well. So that was all sorted out, and we thought, okay, this is good. Everybody's happy. So this Chuckwalla National Monument and the Quetzon Monument, they're going to break that rule or that agreement, and they're going to draw a circle around these large areas, and there's going to be further limitations about what can happen there. So what was limited is you won't be able to have large-scale mining. You won't be able to have renewable energy like solar and wind. And recreation could give us a hard time. So, Amy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not a fan of national monuments. To me, a national monument, when it goes that route, it's the only reason to do it and not have a public process like the California Energy Renewable Energy Conservation Plan that it talked about, is to exclude or stop somebody from doing something. So it's automatically sort of a value judgment. We don't like what you do, so we don't want you here. And the underlying reason of every national monument proclamation is something of that sort. Now, sometimes, it, like Ed said, it's sort of geared towards large-scale mining operations, which arguably some people like, some people don't like. So you can go back and forth on that. They do have a very large impact. But the other part of it is that the people who propose it are wanting to stop something. I would say the Quetzon proposal is different. It is proposed by the Quetzon tribe, and they have reached out very early on to the off-road community. And we had a very informative meeting with them. Ed attended in person. I was on Zoom. And others from the community were also there, and they listened very carefully to what we had to say. Conversely, the Chuckwalla National Monument, they started the process and pretty much said from the very beginning, yeah, we don't want to talk to off-roaders. We don't believe that there are off-roaders or off-road organizations that should be involved in this or advocates in the area. It was some kind of convoluted excuse to say, we don't want to hear you. And that message came through really early on, and Ed and I have been involved early on. What isn't clear in the Chuckwalla proposal is, why do you need this? Why do you need to exclude more people? There's questions about recreational rock hounding, which a lot of people really enjoy in the desert. To exclude something like that from 660,000 acres you sort of have to ask yourself, why? Why is this a good thing? Why is this beneficial? And again, if you scratch below the surface, the whole reason is either we want this for our private playground, or we want to limit the people who are coming here. And that's really the impression I get from the Chekwala. I will differentiate it from the Khoisan because the Khoisan tribe has long history and tribal areas and they're looking to protect while including all forms of recreation that already exist. And the fact that they reached out so early to us and will include hunting and camping and off-roading and rock hounding in their proposal, I have to say they did an excellent job, and I would put it in a different category. We still have to work with them and still have to pursue it. But we respect their long historical association with the land that they are seeking to make sure still belongs to the tribe in the sense that they could protect their sacred areas. So different national monuments achieve different purposes, and you really have to look, scratch below the surface, like I said, and see what the proponents are really asking for. And if they refuse to consider what would otherwise be a reasonable proposal, then you know they're just seeking to exclude people.
Amy, on this Khoisan proposal, I was in the room with this meeting, and they wanted to hear what people had to say. And I spoke up and said, there's a route network in there that's already been established by the Bureau of Land Management. What do you think about taking the language of your proposal and making it so that the route network would be preserved in the designation of the monument? And they came back to us and they said, well, we think there might be archaeological stuff from our ancestors along the route, and we don't want that stuff to be damaged by people leaving the route or going right by it. They even said that the dust could fill in imprints. So I have a thing about that is that's in the NECO plan, right? The Northern Colorado, the Bureau of Land Management has names for different areas that they have a management plan for. So in that management plan, they have the route network that's currently open. And the BLM, when they make a route network, they send their experts out there to look at the land. So they have a hydrologist who looks at erosion. They have a biologist looking for sensitive species, and they have an archaeologist. Now the archaeologist, they have a harder time than the others because they have to qualify not just the 10 feet width of road, but about 100 feet, 50 feet on either side of the road. So they got to kind of walk a zigzag to figure out if there's any stuff there. And all that route network has already been established as okay by the archaeologist and all the other specialists. So with that, I don't know. I'm a little annoyed that they want to for sure run the route network through a management plan. What do you think about that, Amy?
Well, anytime you have a national monument designation, you have to do a new national monument management plan, which I know you know that, Ed, because you're involved in the Mojave Trails National Monument. So that archaeological review is going to be part of it, kind of whether we like it or not. But we've also learned, especially from the lawsuit that was a 4.5-year lawsuit in Ocotillo Wells that really dealt with archaeological sites and how best to protect archaeological sites in state vehicular recreation areas like Ocotillo Wells, we learned from the archaeologists there that it's okay to have different methodologies to protect sacred sites. Sometimes it's to actually keep them buried or underground so people don't know that they're there. Other times you might do a reroute on a trail. So it's working within the system that there is and finding ways to keep the route network while protecting the sites. And I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but we have done it before. And what we really need access to is the data that the BLM collected when they did that archaeological review.
That's a good point. And that stuff, it doesn't go to the general public. The archaeologists are very close with their information. And I get it. They don't want us going out there and, you know, possibly messing up stuff. But I at least had a good ask, you know, could we just put that route network in language that it's going to be preserved? And then, of course, they could, you know, preserve it further with reroutes or burying, adding soil on top of stuff. So that's possible things they could do. Dave, is it time for a break?
Yep, we need to take a quick break. This is SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Everyone loves pets. Now it seems like everyone loves pickleball. So please join the Spay-Neuter Action Project for a play-and-learn party pickleball for the pets. Saturday, September 21st in Encinitas. Proceeds go directly to provide spay and neuter services for financially challenged pet owners in San Diego County. Sadly, there are more animals born every day than there are homes for. Did you know that over 2 million animals are euthanized every year in America? That translates to over 7,000 pets per day. Let's help reverse this trend. Pickleball for the Pets will be held at Bobby Riggs Racket and Paddle, located at 875 Santa Fe Drive, just off I-5 in Encinitas, across from the San Diego Academy. Play or take a lesson while you enjoy music, silent auctions, raffles, great food, drinks, and amazing vendors. Support this great cause Saturday, September 21st from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Encinitas. For information, please visit snap-sandiego.org. That's snap-sandiego.org.
We can tell you about the incredible success we bring to local businesses, but it's better when it comes directly from our satisfied clients. Here's just one example.
After searching for a new vendor to handle my search marketing campaign, I contacted Salem Surround after seeing the great work they did for another restoration company in the different market. Their team of experts recommended a mix of multiple tactics designed to get my business the most quality leads at the lowest cost, making my marketing budget stretch further. In our first year partnering with Salem Surround, we recorded our best year to date, and I've told many people how blessed I was to find them. The representative answered the phone every time I called and quickly addressed any questions or concerns I had.
Let Salem Surround give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and show you what your competition is doing. Then we can come up with a personalized plan that's perfect for your needs. Visit SurroundSanDiego.com and let our marketing experts help you achieve real success. Remember, that's SurroundSanDiego.com.
Andrea Kay, calling out the libs on a nightly basis.
Please stop pretending that you care about this country.
Weeknights at 6 on The Answer San Diego. Streaming at TheAnswerSanDiego.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
S&S Off-Road Magazine. Boy, I tell you what, if you're in the off-road community or you're just getting into it and you'd like to know the ins and outs, S&S Off-Road Magazine is the place to be. SSORMAG.com, digital, hundreds of pages, everything from information, stories, updates, political. You can also buy and sell. There's comment sections from people that are heavily in the industry. This is your one-stop shop. S&S Off-Road Magazine, SSORMAG.com. And Wayne Miller Tire. Boy, I tell you what, Wayne Miller Tire, they are the best. Everything from a golf cart tire all the way to a semi. Have a problem out on the road, just give them a call, 619-596-2800. But guess what? They've decided to move up the ladder. Not only are they doing tires, but they're doing your whole vehicle. So if you do need tires or you need one, two, all of them, and you'd like to get some service done as well, Wayne Miller Tire does it all. They're right there next to the Santee Drive-In. Take a run over there, but call them first because they're busy. 619-596-2800. And thank them for sponsoring SDORC.com. And we've got Amy Granite on the line, and her and Ed have been going back and forth on what's going on out there in that crazy world of ours called the off-road community. What do you got next?
Oh, thanks, Dave. So we're going to close up with the monuments, but we want to talk about state legislation. So we're getting late in the legislative cycle, And most of the bills that have made it through the process are either on the governor's desk or about to hit the desk. So what that means is they've gone through both houses, the state assembly, the state senate. They go back and forth. They go through a variety of committees, and they have been passed through these committees, and they go through back to the house of origin and the other house. They get voted on. They go to the governor's office. So there's a couple of bills that we're interested in talking about, and a bill that we're going to be working on. So SB 708 will allow racing motorcycles to have a registration. It won't allow them to go on public land. That ended in 2021, but the Department of the Department of Motor Vehicles has made it so that, and really the air pollution people have told the DMV that these vehicles can't get registration anymore. So no green stickers, no red stickers, no pink slips. Well, the pink slips is a difficult part because they still sell these motorcycles for use on private property and for racing events. If these vehicles are out there and being sold, there should be some way of identifying them. So in case they get stolen, so they can get insurance, they can get financing. And so this is SB 708. Our own state senator, Brian Jones, has been trying to get this passed for the last 4 years, and he's got a better shot of it now than ever before. A couple of years ago, it got all the way to the governor's desk, and the governor vetoed it. But it had a poison pill inside that the DMV was going to cost an awful lot of money to get this program set up. So our own Amy Granite, who's on here, made the suggestion a couple of years ago that maybe they should run it through state parks instead of the DMV. So is that what's going on now, Amy?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So as many of us know who may have more than one or two or three vehicles, DMVs really can be difficult to deal with. And their systems are antiquated. They need to be updated. And any change to existing systems, they've decided to charge a minimum of $30 million. So to have a competition sticker come from DMV, that would have cost the OHV Trust Fund $30 million, which is a lot of money and can be much better spent in other places like getting maintenance on the ground. So actually, that poison pill, as Ed appropriately puts it, kind of doomed that version of the bill. But kudos to Senator Jones for coming back and believing in competition bikes and competition in California, motorcycle, dirt bike competition in California. And this bill has every indication that the governor is going to sign it. Actually, the last vote was there were no, in both the Assembly and the Senate, there were no votes. So there was no opposition at all. State Parks is going to institute the program and actually create a competition sticker, and they do off-highway vehicle out-of-state stickers, so they already have experience, state parks, in producing stickers and keeping track of them. And as Ed said, that will be great for owners of model year 2022 competition bikes and later going on into the future. And it's been a little complicated to figure out because CARB kind of grandfathered in some bikes, didn't grandfather in others, but now we'll have this alternative. But as Ed said, they can't be used on public land, but they can be used in a closed course competition and on private property. Ed, do you want to talk about SB 632?
I'd love to. So SB 632 has to do with combined use. The state already has a statute that allows local entities, cities and counties, to designate highways for combined use. And the combination means that off-road vehicles can use the highway for short distances, up to 3 miles. And that's primarily to reach lodging, fuel, or other services. So if you're out in the country and you want to, you're on a dirt bike or some kind of off-road vehicle and you want to go in for lunch, you can go down certain roads a little bit. Well, Red Rock State Park, up, and that's right between Jawbone and Dove Springs, kind of off Highway 14 in the Mojave Desert. It's a state park, and they formed a new management plan there, and they are not allowing off-road vehicles to go through the park. Well, there's a highway that goes right next to it, and they want to allow the off-road vehicles to be able to go back and forth from Dove Springs to Jawbone, and it's more than 3 miles. So this bill is going to allow combined use to go on that highway. I think it's Sierra Mesa or Sierra View.
Sierra View Road.
Sierra View Road. So this will allow off-road vehicles to go on Sierra View Road more than 3 miles, the distance necessary. So how's that bill looking, Amy?
That bill's also looking great, and is I was lucky enough to testify the first time it was in a committee at the Capitol, which was sort of, you know, it's always fun to testify.
Isn't that an honor to get in front of everybody?
It was. It was really great. And, you know, one thing I want to point out that I think is important is that SB 708, you know, the competition sticker bill, that Senator Brian Jones, who is a Republican, SB 632 was Senator Ana Caballero out of the Salinas area, who was a Democrat. So people, politicians who understand off-road recreation, Republicans and Democrats can join together. Both of these bills had bipartisan support. Both of these bills had just sailed through. You know, we were very lucky with this, but it proves it can be done, which is great as we move into the future. And we had a great experience with her, and we fully expect that bill to pass, which will just continue what we call historical connectivity. People have been riding and driving Sierra View Road with off-road vehicles for a very long time. This pilot program will make sure that it remains safe to mix on-road vehicles with off-road vehicles and involve the CHP, but we don't consider that to be a problem because, as I said, this has been going on for a long time. This just codifies it.
And so, by the way, just so you guys know, that we're really mad at state parks for doing this management plan and not allowing us to ride through the park anymore. So this is a bone that they've thrown us. Well, at least we can go back and forth on this. So this bill, if it gets signed, like it likely will be a good thing for us. Overall, the reason for the bill is kind of upsetting.
Yeah, and that goes back a lot to when it changed from a state recreation area to a state park, which was actually a long time ago in the 80s. But that decision is catching up to us now. So it did eliminate anybody who hasn't been to Red Rock Canyon State Park. It's a pretty amazing place. We can't travel it in our off-road vehicles like we used to, but it is still just a beautiful park to go to.
Okay. Well, I think there's a good chance the governor's going to sign that. Moving on to a safety bill, we are working towards running our own legislation next year. Corba and SDRC, together we fund a state lobbyist, and we direct his activities related to off-road vehicle use. And we're going to be running a bill to require mandatory safety training for all off-road vehicle users. And right now, everything's on the table. It could only be for side-by-sides. It's a lot more likely to be for all vehicles. It's possible motorcycles could be left out. But there's been a lot of bad behavior and tragic accidents by side-by-side vehicles, also known as ROVs, recreational off-road vehicles. In the last 4 or 5 years, there's been an influx of people coming in off-roading with these things, and they don't really have experience out in the desert, out in the forests, driving, operating off-road vehicles, and there's been a lot of trouble. So these people that are causing the trouble, they're hard to get to. We have trouble reaching them on social media and other avenues, and so we think that safety training will make a large, noticeable improvement in in safety and in just etiquette out in the desert and out in other off-road places. Right now, three other states have mandatory safety training. That's Utah, Oregon, and just recently Arizona. And I got my Arizona safety card in the mail yesterday. Amy, do you have anything to mention to say on the safety bill subject?
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, as a mother and a grandmother, you know, I'm looking at this and thinking we need to protect our kids. We need to protect our children. And it, so the first thing in the safety bill that we need to look at is how do we make sure what we're doing is safe? And the way I like to explain it to people is who this is geared to is all operators of off-road vehicles, and it will start at age 15 and older. And the thinking behind that is because that's when we start driver's training. That's when teenagers start driver's training. So if they're operating off-road vehicles, at the same time that they could start off-road driver's training. So there's on-road training, which has existed for a long time. So this is just off-road training to add more information and more awareness of safety procedures and best operating practices when you're traveling off-road. The reason to gear it to everyone is because the capability of some of the vehicles out there, especially the side-by-side, they're pretty significant.
Yeah.
They're a whole lot of fun.
Amy, let's hang on. You got one more segment right here on STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
The American Lung Association's Better Breathers Club meetings have started again in La Mesa, held at the Health and Wellness Library behind Sharp Grossmont Hospital. Meetings are the last Thursday of every month at 1 p.m. Join others with lung disease and meet physicians, therapists, and equipment providers to learn how you can live better with shortness of breath. Mark your calendar for the last Thursday of every month. Proudly sponsored by La Mesa Rehab and Pulmonary Therapy.
The best care you can have at La Mesa Rehab.
The James Cooley Show, It's Your Life, is now airing every weekday at 2 p.m. Life is full of circles, cycles, phases, and stages. It's your choice to ignore or embrace them. Motivational speaker, author, veteran, and J.C. Cooley Foundation founder, James Cooley, is here to inspire you to strive for your greatness and overcome adversities. The James Cooley Show, It's Your Life, now heard weekdays at 2 p.m., Saturdays at 10 p.m., and Sundays at 10 a.m., right here on The Answer San Diego.
Join Dave Stahl every Sunday at 2 p.m. for You Oughta Know. Well, the title says it all. If it's automotive related, he covers it. Everything from the interviews from the manufacturer to road tests of the cars he gets every week, industry standards, legal aspects. If you want to know the latest in automotive news and have some fun while doing it, there's only one show for that. You Oughta Know with Dave Stahl. Sundays at 2 p.m. on FM 96.1 and AM 1170, The Answer.
A plumb line is a standard, one that is straight and true. But the only perfect standard is God's Word. It is what we should use to guide and guard our lives and our minds. Yet so few of those who call themselves Christians live according to that perfect standard. The radio show The Plumb Line exists to call the lost to salvation and to equip the saved to think and act from a biblical worldview. Tune in at 9 a.m. Saturdays for The Plumb Line with Jay Rudolph on KCBQ The Answer San Diego, FM 96.1 and AM 1170.
All right, folks. Welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Lifestyle Garage in lovely Lakeside, right off Winter Gardens Boulevard in Lakeside. If you've got a Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Jeep, and you want to personalize it and make it your lifestyle vehicle, well, Lifestyle Garage, that's exactly what they do. They also do general repair. They do services, and they do a fleet service as well. But their main thrust is sitting down with you and your vehicle and giving you the vehicle you've dreamed about. And that's what Lifestyle Garage is all about. So you need to give them a call because they are busy, 619-499-5323. And when you walk in the door, when you see either Maverick or Tony, say, you know, thanks a lot for sponsoring STORC Dirt Radio, because without their help, this show would not be on the air and we wouldn't be able to get Amy to call in and give us all the updates we as off-roaders need to know. So we either got to vote, we got to get the right people in office, we got to get enthusiasts in the different political offices that are for off-roading, not against.
Okay, so I got a couple other topics I want to cover in the last few minutes of our show. So I'm a member of the Desert Advisory Council. I'm appointed by the Secretary of Interior, and we give, there's a number of us, I think there's nine of us on the Desert Advisory Council. We give advice to the Bureau of Land Management and possibly other agencies. And so we had a meeting a few weeks ago, and the Cleveland National Forest came and asked us to approve raising fees in the Cleveland National Forest. So there's no current advisory council for the National Forests, so they can default over to the Desert Advisory Council. It's a, they're both federal agencies. And so they asked us to increase the cost of camping in a variety of camping areas. The ones we care about are Bobcat and Corral Canyon in the Cleveland. And those are in the Corral Canyon OHV area. So they wanted to raise camping fees from $5 a night to $15 a night. And right now you got to get an adventure pass to park anywhere where there's a restroom. So there's a few places. Bear Valley Road, Four Corners, and then the two campgrounds. Well, they want to keep it, so you need a camping fee. I'm sorry, an adventure pass for those two areas. But they want to raise camping overnight in the Corral Canyon and Bobcat Meadows. And so the Desert Advisory Council voted to approve that. So that's going to take place. Over on Bureau of Land Management land in an area called Keysville, and this is next to Lake Isabella, they did what's called an environmental assessment where they wanted to change camping and observe trials riding. They designate, well, so they just ended a comment period, and they there's two alternatives. Alternative one would have a little bit less camping and less trials riding, and alternative two would have more trials riding and more camping. So alternative two is the preferred alternative, and we're hoping that that's going to fly through and become the rule out there. Hungry Valley had a tragic wildfire go through most of the park. Was it last month or month before? And so the park is closed. So how do they get the park open? Well, they have a variety of activities, and some of those activities are going to take place on September 28th at the park. They're having a Hungry Valley Volunteer Day, and I've heard that they have over 100 people signed up to go over there. I was planning to run up there to be a volunteer, and I'm debating whether I'm going to go, if they are actually going to need me or not. There's another event. I think it's called Jeep Bash at Bolsa Chica, and Corva's going to have a booth there. And while I run the San Diego Off-Road Coalition, I'm also a director of the California Off-Road Vehicle Association, of which Amy, who's on the call with us, or on the radio with us today, she's the executive director. So I may go and volunteer with Vinny Barbarino. I'm not kidding, that's his name, over at the Jeep Bash. Another thing, Andrew Hayes is running for state assembly for the East San Diego County. That's the 75th district of the state assembly. He is endorsed by the San Diego Republican Party. And he's also a nice guy. I've known him a long time. He used to be an intern with Joel Anderson. He was in high school, and Joel's had a lot of interns, but this is the one who's the golden boy. He stuck with Joel. When he graduated college, he went back and worked with Joel as a staff member. And then when Joel termed out, he became a staff for Brian Jones, State Senator Brian Jones, moved all the way up to district staff manager or staff director. And now he's running for state assembly. So we're giving him our best and hope he can pull through with that. November 9th, the Lost Lizard Fun Run. This will be our 19th time having the Lost Lizard Fun Run. This is a big poker run that the San Diego Off-Road Coalition puts on. It'll be over by Superstition Mountain. It's a very fun event. We've been tuning it for for many years, getting it right. Oh, and what's funny, Bo Nice just texted me. It's Jeep Bash. Thanks. Thanks, Bo. Appreciate that. It's fun when your friends are listening. So Bo, who's and a very active member of Tierra del Sol four-wheel drive club. And by the way, TDS will be having a checkpoint at Lost Lizard. I think it's going to be one of those where you swing a hammer and hit the thing and the little puck flies up. And if you hit it hard enough, you hit the bell. And they're going to have playing cards. So it's a poker run. At each checkpoint, you get a card and you play a game. And if you succeed with the game, you get a raffle ticket. And then we're going to have a big raffle at the end. So we're going to try something new this year. We're going to have 5 checkpoints in the field all along the 20-mile route. And then at base camp, Tierra del Sol is going to have a checkpoint. And if you have a card that you don't like, you want to turn in and try for a better card, you can do that there. And then you can also swing the hammer and hopefully ring the bell. So, Amy, weren't you at Lost Lizard a few years ago?
Yeah, it's a great run. We had a lot of fun. We did a checkpoint, and I think we won an award for best checkpoint, if I remember correctly.
You know, it's funny, is you and Diana Mead were there, and you offered to do a checkpoint. For some reason, some people didn't show up, like can happen. And we have to have a game, and so Diana said, well, why don't we play charades? And charades, you don't need any stuff, right? Normally when we think of a checkpoint game, like you throw the beanbag or you walk along a plank or you throw a dart, there's always something you do. But no, you didn't have anything, and it was super fun. Like one person would whisper, Michael Jackson, and then the other guy would try to moonwalk backwards, and you'd have to guess what it was. So that was really fun. We do have a prize for best checkpoint. And that makes the checkpoints try harder. And so when the checkpoints try harder, it makes the event a lot more fun. Do you know what an otter pop is, Amy? Did you ever have those? Well, last year we had 2 checkpoints giving out otter pops. Those are those frozen sweet things. And they have,
yes.
You remember those?
Yeah,
they're wonderful on a hot day.
Yes.
So 2 checkpoints had those. They have fun games. Another one is just giving out candy. They have music at their checkpoint, and everyone's happy, and what a lot of fun. So this is our big fundraiser. When we have a successful checkpoint like this, we can afford to hire our lobbyist to help us do important stuff like supporting bills that help us, fighting bills that hurt us. And, you know, in addition to working on pure legislation, having a state lobbyist can help you with other government agencies. So if there's state agencies that screw with us, we can have somebody who's intelligent, who's right up in Sacramento. They know how the government works. They can go in there and they can advocate for us off-roaders. Yeah, there's the air pollution people who've been giving Oceana Dunes a hard time. There's species people. There's the California Coastal Commission. All these agencies, they can give us a hard time. So having somebody up there and being able to support them, it's a big deal. So the San Diego Off-Road Coalition is a membership organization. You can go to sdorc.org. You can sign up for the Lost Lizard. You can become a member. You can read my report on the front page talking about all the stuff we talked about here, but in further detail and other topics as well. So please come out to the Lost Lizard. Join us at the Lost Lizard. We also have meetings on the first Tuesday of the month at Ranch House Restaurant in Lakeside. This coming Tuesday, we're going to be meeting, and we look forward to seeing all of you out there. And Dave came back with his other guest.
Yep. All right, Amy, super great having you take time out of your Sunday to call in.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.